Hello and welcome to the Addicted Austenite, your one-stop podcast for all things Jane Austen. I'm Catherine and thank you for joining me for the first episode of 2021. Yay! And to kick off this year's run, I'm going to be talking about people of colour in Georgian Britain. Now, this was a topic that I promised to cover during my run of Sanditon, when I went through all of those episodes and reviewed them in real time. And Christmas kind of happened and I had to do some Christmas themed ones, so now I'm doing it. And it's worked out quite well, considering that January is Black History Month, so it's all lined up, shall we say. Now, this does mean that I'm going to be talking about slavery and the slave trade, so it's not a very happy episode this week. And I'm sorry, we need to be prepared to deal with some distressing and downright just evil behaviour and information. I can't say that I've necessarily looked forward to doing this episode. Slavery is just the most disgusting thing that has ever happened in our history, and it is horrible, absolutely horrible to talk about, but we need to talk about it. We cannot just push it under the rug and forget about it. We can't, because it is still an issue in our society. It was only in the past few years that we've had the debate about Edward Colston. I live quite close to Bristol, so it's been something that they've been quite close to. Edward Colston was a slave owner and he did a lot for the city of Bristol, and they've erected statues and they've named buildings after him. But finally we've come to the point where we cannot celebrate him anymore because of his ties to slavery, and that is exactly as it should be. And last year there was a big march for Black Lives Matter after the incidents in the US, and they did tear down the Edward Colston statue that was still up in Bristol. So like I said, slavery is still a big issue in British society, so we're going to talk about it. And it is actually much more possible to have characters of colour in the middle class settings of Jane Austen's story than you might expect for the era. Whenever people of colour are represented in these kinds of dramas and in films, there's usually some backlash saying that it's not historically accurate. Well, I'm here to tell you that that is a load of rubbish. Unfortunately, most of it does come back to slavery. In general, the reporting of the history of people of colour in British society, it is largely intertwined with the history of slavery, and it is told within that context. And it is understandable that that's what's happened. It is a grim fact, but a large percentage of people of colour in Britain at this time would have had connections to the slave trade. They were slaves, they had been slaves and they were freed. They were the children of slaves, they were the children of former slaves, or they knew people in their community who had been slaves. Slavery was horribly pervasive in British society. Really, slavery is what kept Britain going. It's what made the empire so successful. And I'm not in any way suggesting that that is a good thing, but that's the facts of it. And slavery is what accounted for a large percentage of the black community in Britain at this time. Now, speaking generally from my experience as a historian and researching these kinds of things, and having gone to university for it, there is an alarming lack of people of colour in British history. And what I mean by that is that their stories are not told. There is a lack of people of colour in the way that we tell history, in the way that we remember it in this country. And that is because it has largely been white people, and again largely white males, who have written these histories. And I think it's time that I did a brief history of slavery in the UK so that we can start to understand the lives of these people of colour and why it is that they are missing from our history. Now, at this point, I would like to make it incredibly clear. Hopefully, I don't have to say this because you'll know, but I thought I'd just make doubly sure that I am absolutely clear on this. As a historian, we are encouraged to try and look at historical situations from both sides and try and understand the reasonings behind both sides of a historical event like this. But that does not mean I agree with this other side that I'm looking at. And I'm not going to use the excuse of it was what happened, it was what was done in those times, such as the way it was, because it shouldn't have been. When I am reporting the actions of slave traders, that I am not supporting their actions and I'm not trying to excuse their actions. So, slavery as an institution is almost as old as civilization itself. Humans really aren't great. Back as far as the ancient Egyptians, slavery was a common source of labour. The form of slavery that we deal with in Georgian Britain during Jane Austen's time really starts in the 1400s. It is called the transatlantic slave trade, sometimes the triangular trade as well. And what happened was in the 15th century, European countries, Portugal, Spain, France, the Dutch, Britain as well, they started to expand out into Africa. Of course, this time was one of a lot of colonization, including in the Americas and in Asia as well. And Africa did not escape that. It didn't matter, of course, to these Europeans that there were already people living in Africa. It had never bothered them before, so why start now? And in the case of Africa, more's the better that there were people living there, because these Europeans decided that African people would make brilliant workers for them. And instead of asking these people if they wanted a job and offering a decent wage and some holiday benefits, the Europeans just took them. They just took these people, kidnapped them from their homes and their villages, hundreds of miles across the ocean to strange new lands where, for a lot of them, they would essentially work until they died. And slavery became such an important part of European production, in particular, that the Africans themselves were starting to turn each other in. In the African culture, it has been reported that slavery could be a punishment for crimes committed. So some of the people that were given to Europeans could have been criminals. But for a large percentage, these were just ordinary people who were kidnapped by rival tribes and sold off to the Europeans in exchange for goods. It was just awful. And with the sources that we have, we know exactly how horrible a slave's conditions were. Now, I know I said that this is something that we need to talk about, and it is, but honestly, the conditions of these slaves during this time and the stories that are told, and I might be wimping out, but they are just too horrible for me to want to say out loud and to put on this podcast. I've tried to make this podcast sort of family friendly. I know I've said in the past that Jane Austen isn't exactly a children's writer, but that doesn't mean that the context surrounding her shouldn't be enjoyed by everyone. And some of these accounts and the brutal treatment of these slaves, whether they were in the ships or on the plantations where they worked, they get severely dark and X-rated. I am not going to describe it. I'm going to leave that up to you to research if you want to. All the information is available there on the internet and in books. So if you really want to find out, you can go and have a look. Just be prepared to find horrific information. And if you're anything like me, You're gonna end up losing your faith in humanity while you're reading it. It really is disgusting. So, with the bringing of African slaves over to Europe to work in mostly in production, this led to a much larger population of people of colour in European countries and in their colonies as well. To this day, the country that is most talked about with regards to slavery and has sort of the biggest history of slavery is the United States, which of course at this time was British, French, Spanish, Dutch occupied. So these Europeans brought these slaves over to the US to work, to grow tobacco and sugar, things like that, and cotton. And when the United States became its own country, unfortunately, slavery was something that continued. Once these stolen Africans were moved to these new countries, it was very hard for them to leave. So population of people of colour just grew exponentially. The main hurdle to being able to get back home for these slaves was that slave owners and a large proportion of European society saw these people as property rather than as human beings. They really thought that these people of colour that they'd taken from their homes had no more rights than the chickens on their farms, the slave owners. They got to decide what happened to their slaves because they belonged to them. Hopefully, you can hear all the inverted commas when I say things like this. And being considered property changed people's views of slaves' rights and the freedoms that they should be afforded. In a lot of cases, it meant that slaves who managed to get free of the system, either by running away or earning, again in inverted commas, because they shouldn't have to, but earning their freedom. In reality, even once they were free, they were still shackled by slavery because people would assume that they were somebody else's property rather than their own person. And a lot of people would return people of colour to their owners. And even freed men were forced back into slavery because people assumed that he was somebody's property that had gone missing, rather than he was his own person who had his own rights and his own freedom. You can see that kind of story in movies like 12 Years a Slave, because it was automatically assumed that somebody else had the right to decide their fate rather than them. Even if they were free and left alone to live their lives, it was still very difficult for them to go back home. They didn't have a lot of money. They couldn't afford to get back to Africa. As the years went on, more and more slaves were actually born in these countries and considered them home. And also, as I said, over the years, families developed. And just because one person was freed from service to a master, that doesn't mean that the rest of their family was freed. It might be that while dad had the chance to go back to Africa, mum and baby didn't. They were still slaves. They still belonged to the master. And of course, dad didn't want to leave without them. This did mean that there were a lot more people of colour in Europe and in Britain in particular during Jane Austen's time than we have been led to believe. With regards to abolition and the legal status of slavery in Great Britain during Jane's lifetime, there were steps being made, but slavery wasn't completely abolished. From a technical standpoint, slavery had actually been illegal in Britain since 1569, reportedly, with something called the Cartwright decision. It's rather vague, unfortunately. We don't actually have any records of the decision being made, other than later mentions of it in support of abolition. And essentially, what happened in this decision was that it was deemed the air of England was too pure for slaves to breathe, which, to be honest, is very confusing and very vague, but apparently this meant that slavery was illegal. But of course, it still happened. There was a ruling in 1706 that purported to support the Cartwright decision, but again, it was still happening. In essence, slavery was still legal. Then we come to a very big case 3 years before Jane Austen was born in 1772. This was Somerset versus Stuart, wherein Judge William Murray, now you're going to need to remember his name because that'll be important next week, Murray ruled that a slave master couldn't force his slave to leave England against his will. So it meant that once a slave owner had bought a slave to Britain, they couldn't be traded again, essentially. It wasn't necessarily making the slave trade illegal, but it was starting to add fire to the abolitionist cause. And then we move on to the legislation in Jane's lifetime, and this was the 1807 Slave Trade Act. Now, the Slave Trade Act abolished the slave trade in the UK. Now, this is very specific wording because it didn't ban slavery, it just banned the slave trade. So you couldn't trade for any more slaves, but if you had slaves still, you could keep them. So again, unfortunately, it's baby steps, and it's not until after Jane's death in 1833 that slavery was finally abolished in Britain. So that's a brief, brutal history of slavery in the United Kingdom. As I've said before, this does lead to a large population of people of colour in Britain during the Georgian era. And now I'm going to try and explain. So, why aren't they in the history books? Well, again, most of this comes back to the issue of slaves being considered property rather than people in their own right. People of colour are being missed out of history, they're being ignored because it's just taken for granted that they were there in the background. And because they were in the background, they didn't warrant talking about. And it's an issue that historians have at large. It's an issue with historiography because up until very recently, history was told from the point of view of great people. So, usually the people who were very famous and in the upper classes of society. And historians would tell the stories of these great people and then take their experiences as a representation of culture and society at this time. And of course, that just doesn't work. Because these people are in the 1% of society and their experiences are nowhere near what everyday people had to endure. And particularly the lower classes, it was taken for granted that they were there, so we don't need to talk about them. For a lot of historians, that's the way it was. Luckily, I say luckily. Fortunately, this style of historiography is beginning to change. Within the last century or so, it has started to change and history is being told. The way we describe it is from the bottom up. So we start looking at the lower classes, the largest population of society, and telling their story, and then working our way up the social ladder to create a well-rounded view of society at any given time. And this does mean that people who were overlooked before, people of working class status and those who toiled to make the lives of these great people happen, their story is finally being told. But proportionally, people of colour are still underrepresented in these histories, and that's why we need to be talking about this. An example, she became most famous during the Victorian era, but she still did a lot of work in the Georgian era. and that is Mary Seacole. You may have heard of her, but even her story is one that has been largely underrepresented. Mary Seacole was a nurse. She was the daughter of a Scottish lieutenant and a former Jamaican slave. Her mother, the former slave, she was a healer, and she worked in the Jamaican community to help the families around her. And Mary learnt from that, and she became a great nurse. She went to school to become a nurse, and by the time of the Crimean War, she was doing far more and far better work than the most famous nurse of the Crimean War, Florence Nightingale. What Florence was writing about in her books, Mary had been doing for years by this point. And Mary actually nursed on the battlefield. She was on the front lines, whereas Florence was working away from the war. And it's only now, really, that Mary is being celebrated for the amazing woman that she was, because of the colour of her skin. Florence became the more famous nurse of the Crimean War because she was white. Just shows how abysmal the history curriculum has been and the remembering of Britain's past has been over the last few centuries. It's lacking, severely lacking, and it's really time that we started putting the colour back into British history. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Addicted Austenite. It is a much more sombre theme than I've done before, so I'm not going to ask if you've enjoyed it. I do hope that you found it interesting though, and thought-provoking. Next week, we're going to have a look at slavery and the issue of race in Jane's own novels, and particularly whether or not Mansfield Park is an abolitionist novel. I'll see you next time, and until then, as ever, happy reading. Your faithful servant, the author.